This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Ms. Bailey is a breast cancer survivor who was diagnosed first at the age of 29 when her daughter was only 3 years old. She had a second diagnosis at the age of 36. She works full-time as a registered nurse for a group of neurosurgeons in Cincinnati. She has been involved with the Pink Ribbon Girls, an advocacy and support group for for women survivors of breast cancer who were diagnosed at a young age, diagnosed before age 40. Currently, she's the outreach coordinator for this group and works to raise awareness of the special issues, fears, and concerns with being diagnosed at a young age. Earlier this year, Benita was honored with the Cancer Family Cares 2012 Jocelyn Haggard-Yeiser Unsung Hero Award. Today, she's here to tell you about an amazing survey that she and her colleague, Tracy Metzger, have done of over 700 young adults, assessing their knowledge or their awareness of early developmental exposures and their effects on adult health.
Thank you, Dr. Penny. And just so you know, I'm 43. I gave a lot of numbers as far as when I was diagnosed, but currently I'm 43 and loving life, so that's great. But again, just briefly, as far as with Pink Ribbon Girls, really we do a lot of education and outreach and really trying to help the woman as they're diagnosed going through treatments with meals, housekeeping, transportation, if you need babysitting. So this is kind of a passion of Tracy and mine to really kind of help, again, education and that age group. So we already have an educational program, which is called Love Your Girls, literally and figuratively. Again, we want to make sure that they're paying attention to all aspects of their life. So this kind of was a natural fit for us as far as our passion, looking at epigenetics and how we can now raise awareness in that particular age group, focusing on the younger adult and teens. So at this point, not being a scientist and not really knowing the terminology of where you get started, so we have received great and wonderful support from all of those colleagues at Cincinnati Children's, Dr. Bureau, Dr. Penny, you know, helping as far as epidemiology, and Dr. Ho and everyone at UC has just been great. So that's kind of, you know, establishing, you know, guidelines, where we go. We've been meeting monthly since, you know, the beginning. So for a couple years now, we've been going over monthly as far as, you know, where do we start? How do we get this going? And really kind of looked at this needs assessment. Like, this is the best place for us to really kind of get some background information, looking at our community, what they do know, because again, as Dr. Birnbaum said, how much scientific literacy is out there and where do we go based on what we have and how can we move forward. So looking at our survey, we were able to get two IRB-approved surveys, one for adolescents and one for adults, looking at particular questions. The questions are were similar, again, just giving it a different point of reference as you were an adolescent versus an adult perspective. So we took a 60-day window of time and just said, this is when we're going to start and this is when we're going to end, and whatever we get is what we get. You know, we didn't want to do this for a very extended period of time because we're a very active organization in our community, so we have events going perpetually. It's not that it's just October. We're busy year-round. So getting surveys and passing out information, working health fairs, whether we're in Harlan County, you know, Kentucky, doing underserved, or in an African-American community looking at, you know, the schools or, you know, different football games, basketball games, volleyball games, you know, we're just out there all the time doing stuff. So that's why it was like 60 days and let's move on. So this is kind of a sample of our questions. So as it's kind of already been talked about today, you know, again, since our Dr. Ho's research is on the high-fat diet and looking at dietary issues, we really wanted to kind of capture that question and look at, you know, what happens with the mother, but also capture the father's effect. And as I think it's been identified that, again, not understanding how the father impacts the child and then the grandchild's health. So we kind of tried to capture that with our dietary questions, and then looking at known health factors, you know, looking at smoking, looking at drinking. These are definitely known health issues that, you know, again, what does that mean in relationship to epigenetics, and does that epigenetic effect get understood to know what it is for your child and for your grandchild? So those are some of the categories that we looked at. And then again, you know, 9 and 10 are kind of our genetics versus epigenetic questions. I think, you know, again, we already have kind of brought up the issue of identical twins and understanding that we do not have the same healthcare risk. But I think that kind of, you know, between question 9 and is, do I, you know, if you know that I get breast cancer, will my daughter get breast cancer as well? You know, again, that there's a big difference with that question. You know, you got 91% that got that question correct. But if you ask identical twins, you know, do they have the same breast cancer risk? You know, we're down at 39%. So again, that scientific knowledge is not there based on, you know, risk of disease and exposures and all of those kind of things. So this was really a wonderful learning opportunity for me, just understanding science and how you can translate that to kind of gather information as far as what people really truly understand. And again, I'm going to go to question 3, when we talk about the father's effect. You know, again, it's that, you know, very little people understand that fathers do have a huge role in their, you know, child's health. So I think that's really something too when we're looking at outreach, making sure that we're educating on all of those elements. So, you know, again, this is you know, kind of where we started, how we gathered our data. You know, now we're going through and almost finished with the analysis, so we'll hopefully get very close to publication with that. So as I'd mentioned, you know, question 9 and 10 is definitely that, you know, genetic versus epigenetic effect. And I think, you know, the red and black kind of give a big disparity as far as what actually that scientific knowledge is, you know, as far as understanding that, you know, again, there is that environmental exposure. And, you know, again, even though you're twins, which, again, I happen to be one, it really does not have the same risk. So that's the issue, you know, with me and my family. I'm the youngest of 10 kids. I'm a twin. And of all the people in my family, I'm the one that got breast cancer. So it really just kind of highlights that it really doesn't matter what your genetics is. It really is kind of, you know, more, I think, related to environment and necessarily what happens in your lifetime. And then as my daughter gets ready to college and starts her own breast health screening, how can I make that change for her? So I think, you know, this is what we were looking at, is trying to look at the glass half full as we create in what we're describing as our window of opportunity. You know, we're looking at these windows of susceptibility and looking at these, you know, where we can try to impact change. So we're really trying to focus on that opportunity effect and capturing the age group. Because, again, as you look at the correct answers with the black line, there's definitely a dip as you go up to age, you know, or, you know, age 25. So we're kind of looking at, you know, adolescents not really, maybe not as interested, but not having the same working knowledge as far as scientific information. So I think this is where we have a definite window of opportunity to kind of capture that age group. And it kind of fits with our general mission for Pink Ribbon Girls, and that's the age group that we're already trying to target to make sure that we are definitely trying to impact their, you know, health and breast cancer risk. So looking at interest, you know, again, it's definitely that red is where we want to target. I think that's where we want to highlight a lot of our efforts. But the interesting thing is the age group, which is our pink, I don't know if it shows up very well. I'm not sure. Between the ages of 25 and 44, there's definitely an increased spiked interest. But again, I think that's representative of your childbearing years. You're now paying attention to that. But it also, again, creates that window of opportunity. But if we can get that interest started earlier, we actually can make that intrauterine exposure minimized and kind of look at those effects. So that's definitely one of our key elements to try and move forward with our outreach efforts and kind of hit those, and you know, those age groups as best we can. Now, looking at media, that was one of the things that we were trying to identify as we talked about understanding where our kids are electronically digitized and all that kind of stuff. I often tease my daughter. It's like, I have a smartphone, but I'm not sure really why they call it that. I'm not too smart when it comes to using that. So I just say, here, make it work for me. But this is where they want to hear. This is what vehicle they want to use. This is what they're driven to kind of capture that window. And again, everything needs to be in small sound bit type pieces because that's how they're getting all their information. So our purple bar, which represents that 14 to 24 age group, is really, you know, why we've kind of developed our YouTube videos and kind of have focused on that component, just because, again, it matches the age group that we want to hit, and it's definitely the vehicle that they, or that medium that they want to receive the information in. So that's kind of been our focus. So for all those who have their smartphones today, I'm going to give you a very busy slide. If you have not seen or heard about QR codes, there's a free application on your phones that you can download with a bar scanner. And with these QR codes, what it do is you'll scan this little box, and then it'll take you right into the website or the URL address or directly to our YouTube video. So it's instantaneous response and instantaneous information, which, again, we have issues with impulse control in today's society because they want things quickly and fast and all that kind of piece. So we're trying to, you know, feed that in a positive way and using that to our advantage when we're looking at outreach and education and things along those lines. So I'm a fast talker, so I've gone through, and I'm going to catch up where we are behind. But this has kind of been our team as far as with the University of Cincinnati. Again, you know, in getting support from Grown Up Female and Dr. Burrow's group and Dr. Penny. Again, I just am grateful that as a Pink Ribbon Girl, as a very small, non-profit, grassroots organization, can get involved in this kind of direction and this kind of potential impact as we move forward. And looking at environmental exposure. So it's just an exciting opportunity for us, and Tracy Metzger and I have just been thrilled to be involved and just proud to be able to kind of contribute in a very small manner. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.